If you'd like to turn with me to Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 35 through 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now in Matthew, the account of this in Matthew says their mother came and asked for them. But they were involved in this. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. When you come to Christ, you come to serve. We come to Christ to serve. We're not just adopting a new lifestyle. We're not just choosing a religion. We come to be used by God. He calls us to serve, and God has work for us to do. Christ did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for all. Jesus Christ came so that he could serve us. Now when he calls you to take up your cross and follow him, to deny yourself. That means you stop serving yourself, you start serving God by serving your brethren. This is not an option or a premium position in the church. This is for everyone. God has given gifts to his church so that everyone has a work to do. There are no idle sons of God. He gives them all work to do. And so we got to get out of our mind this idea of church being an audience where you come to get entertained. Or you like a restaurant, you come and you try this one, you like the food there, so you come back again. Might try a different one though. This is the family of God. Amen. And I'm not saying this small group is the only. No, I'm saying that the church as a whole, all the brethren, we belong to each other and we are to serve one another. And Jesus said the way that we serve each other is going to be completely different than the way the world does things. It shouldn't be surprising to you to know that instead of the leaders in the church being honored and exalted by everyone else and exercising authority over them, Jesus said the leaders in the church submit themselves and serve and humble themselves for the brethren. They lay down their lives for their brethren, like Jesus did for us. Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and then he said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And this is the beautiful way that God has set up his body. So Paul said to the Philippians, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it describes how Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant, was obedient unto death. All these things Christ did, giving up, sacrificing himself. And he said, let this mind be in you. This mindset of, I'm here not for myself, I'm here for others. I'm here to serve God by giving up what I want. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, it shouldn't be surprising to you that the world has a version of church that is ungodly. In the Old Testament, Babylon took God's people captive by force. In the book of Revelation, Babylon takes God's people captive by deception. Babylon in the Old Testament was an earthly government. There are two beasts described in Revelation. There one uses force and power, and the other uses deception. The first beast is a dragon. The second beast has two horns like a lamb, but it spake as a dragon. Do you see what I'm saying? There is a false church, deceivers, and they operate according to the principles of this world. And so those who would set up a church organization to be just like the world, we have a CEO. We have a leader who directs them just like the world does things. This is not God's way. Jesus' church exalts Christ. Christ is the focus. What Christ has done. And we must maintain this focus on Christ and the work of salvation and not on us. You know, the flesh is so prone to focus on ourselves, to think about us, whether it's me individually or our group, our church body, and just focus. This is the thing. Focus is critically important, brethren. Some places you could say their focus is the family. Or their focus is helping you be a good citizen in this life. But our focus must be on Jesus Christ. And any organization that sets your thinking and your mind on earthly things is not of God. Colossians says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So as we desire to not focus on us and our ministry and all this. At the same time, there is order in the church, and there is different offices and works in the church. And I did want to take this day to talk about some of these things, the gifts of ministry. So Jesus has work for us to do. Gifts of ministry and gifts of serving. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12 and verses 3 through 8. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I'll underline that word, office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So God has set the members in the body as it has pleased him, and he has given different offices, different work to do. Office, brethren, I want you to know this is not, we're not talking about like a title. We're talking about work. So think about the offices in the church as not titles, but as work. It's describing the work that is done. So there are different works to be done. Some are given gifts to minister in one way, and some are given gifts to minister in another way. And you need to make it your business to find out what gifts God has given you, how he can use you. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is in thee. Second Corinthians 3, verse 5. Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. God makes us able to minister. We shouldn't be thinking about ministry in terms of your own aptitudes or your own strengths and weaknesses. God is the one who gives you the gift. It's something you didn't have before he gave it to you, right? It's God's gift. And he gives you the ability to minister. And Jesus has passed on the way that he's going to present the gospel to the whole world is he's just going to give it to these men, fishermen, a tax collector. Jesus just gave it to these 12 men, and then he went away and left that for the evangelization of the whole world. And it worked. Because this isn't just men. He didn't just choose men because I think maybe they can do it. No, he chooses those who can't do it and then gives them the power to do it. Praise God. And now when that happens, God gets the glory. And we don't get puffed up with pride. Paul told Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's the way the word gets passed on. You commit the word to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. But God is the one who makes us able ministers. In Ephesians 3, verse 7, I'm pointing out here that there is grace to minister. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul didn't say, you know, I'm a natural speaker. I'm really good at this, so God chose me. No, actually, Paul, it said he was weak and trembling, and some said that his speech was contemptible. The Apostle Paul, that's the one God uses because his grace is in it, his grace is empowering it. And it's the effectual working of his power when we submit ourselves to be used by him. He went on to say in verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you see what that's saying? He's saying that this grace is given for the preaching of the gospel, the revealing of this mystery to be preached, and it is that so that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. This God working in the church displays to heavenly powers, heavenly beings, his wisdom. This is showing his wisdom. God could have just done this whole thing by force and forced people to follow him. But instead, he took people and made them willing and made them surrender their lives to him. And then he used them and empowered them to touch other people. And he changed the whole world by doing this. That's the wisdom of God. And we see the wisdom of God when you see someone who is not naturally talented in any way, and God uses them to preach the word of God with power. And God uses that. So this is displaying things. This is part of God's eternal purpose. This is how he's going to do it. Instead of the leaders exercising authority, it's the leaders serving the rest. And then the members serving one another. We're going to talk today about elders. But in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, you might be surprised to know that this is the only place in the whole New Testament that uses the word pastor. It's the only one. Of course, it just means a shepherd. Ephesians 4:11, "And he gave," that is Jesus Christ, after he ascended, "he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking in the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom," now listen to this, "from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now that was a lot of words, but God established the church to work in this way. He gave some apostles, and we, by the way, we have the apostles with us today in what they've written. We have that with us in the Word of God, the apostles' doctrine. And he's given these other offices in the church for this purpose of perfecting the saints, for making us more like Jesus, to bringing us up, to helping us grow. But it's like the effectual working in every part. It's like a body. The different parts cooperate with one another. The life is ministered throughout the body from one part to the other. It's like the joints and bands. Nourishment is ministered through joints and bands. A joint in your body is where two parts come together. And the band is what holds them together. Joints and bands. This is how the church works. And he has for us to minister to one another. You have to see our survival, our life depends on us working and ministering to one another. But it is God who's doing all this work. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the manifold, many-faceted grace of God, that his grace is available in all different ways and in all different gifts, that manifold grace is there, and you have to be a good steward of it. You have to make use of it in the way God wants you to. So minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do it as of the ability that God gives. We are chosen as unable, unpleasing to God, unacceptable with God, and he makes us so that we can serve him. We can be able ministers of God, according to the ability that God gives. It's because of the blood of Christ that we can stand and minister to one another. It's the blood of Christ that empowers us. And we can have confidence in that. When you're ministering, you're too much thinking about yourself. You're thinking this depends on you. You need to think about doing it as of the ability that God gives. Trusting him. And let him work in people's hearts. God works in people's hearts in ways that you don't know and you can't see. A lot of times, God, you might minister something and you think, boy, that just really didn't go the way I wanted to. It just didn't come out the way I wanted to. And someone else is really blessed by it. And God just spoke to their hearts specifically something they needed through it. This is how God works. He's not dependent on us being really good at this thing. He's the one empowering it and making it effective. And then Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So all of your limitations are self-imposed. Everything you think limits you from serving God, that's just self-imposed limitation. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, we're talking about things that God has for us to do here. We're talking about what he's called you to do. He will enable you to do. Of course, it makes sense. But we have such a tendency to think about ourselves. Evaluate things based on ourselves. But we need to get our eyes on Christ and on God and his work and be an empty vessel. Here, Lord, use me. God doesn't accept excuses, okay? See, I can't do this because. That doesn't work with God. He knows your limitations before he asks you to do something. Well, and this subject of the Lord establishing the church and making order in it and establishing offices in the church, I wanted to talk about elders today, because today we are going to ordain Brother Mike Knapp and Brother John Birch to be elders in this fellowship. They have been doing the work of elders already for many years, and we're going to publicly recognize that, though, and commend them to God and to the word of his grace for continued work. So an elder, though, this is, again, an elder, this is not a title, but this is a work. It describes the work to be done. And again, Jesus' command about he that would be great among you must be servant of all, least and servant of all. So this is an office for serving, for being lowly and sacrificing yourself. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said to Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless." Now this word bishop, you see here in verse 1, or in verse 5, and in verse 7. Verse 5 uses the word elder. Verse 7 uses the word bishop. It uses them interchangeably. A bishop means an overseer. An elder just means someone chosen as an older to be an overseer. "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." So we use the term elder or bishop is used here also. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." So this, not a novice, and there is this fleshly tendency to think, if you've been appointed to an office, that you're somehow special. Well, Brother John and Brother Mike are not going to be lifted up with pride. In fact, I think they're going to be more determined than ever to stay humble and to seek God's grace to help them in this time. But this is why it is not given to a novice or a new believer, because there is this tendency in the flesh to be lifted up with pride. God forbid that pride should raise its ugly head in the church. In Acts 14, verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, This is right after Paul was stoned, by the way. Confirming the souls of the disciples, verse 22, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In every church they ordained them elders. And you see this in every place the scripture talks about leaders in the church. It is more than one. It is not just a single leader. It is the body, the elders are appointed. Plural, elders. And Paul said to Timothy, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. So what does an elder do? What is the job description? In 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and the doctrine. Laboring in the word and the doctrine is one of the works of the elders. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So that's a high calling, a high responsibility, and a serious work to be done. James 5 talked about if anyone's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. That's a work of the elders, is to pray for the sick. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But it was to call for the elders of the church that they may pray over him. And by the way, if anyone is sick and wants to call for the elders of the church, we would be glad to do this and pray for you. In Acts chapter 20, Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, and he said, verse 28, Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. 3 years, night and day with tears. He warned them about this. So this is the elder's work, is to feed the flock. God has chosen them to be overseers. Feed the church of God. And to watch out for these grievous wolves that could enter in and to deceive and lead the flock away. He mentioned that there would be people that would come into the church and draw away disciples after them. These are people with self-interest, self-ambition, trying to get people to follow them. And the elders to watch out for this and be on guard against this. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1, Peter said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, we're not forcing Brother Mike and Brother John to do this. It's not by constraint. They're willing to do this. And we're not paying them any money either, so it's not for filthy lucre's sake. That's for sure. But if they're giving of their time and of their lives to serve the church. And we all do that in our measure, in different ways and with different gifts. So what I want to do now is to pray for Brother Mike and Brother John and have you join with me in praying for them. We're going to commend them to God. I have found them to be faithful men with a heart for the Word of God, focus on Christ, always focused on Christ. They have a love for the brethren. They're humble and willing to be corrected. By word and example, they have served the church of God. So, Brother Mike, would you come up first and we'll pray for you? Please join me in praying for Brother Mike. Our Father, we commit to you our Brother Mike and ask you, Lord, to use him as an elder in your church to feed the flock, to have the oversight, to serve, Lord, and to give of himself. We pray that you protect him from pride. Give him a spirit of meekness and humility and of focus on you and on others. Give him a selfless desire to serve others. And we commit him to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Brother John, would you come up? Our Father, we also pray for our brother John. Ask that you would use him in the office of elder to serve you in a greater and expanded way, to have the oversight and to feed the flock of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd give him grace and strength to do what you've called him to do. And we commit him to you. And ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their faith. And Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey them which have the rule over you. Now, this doesn't mean, if Brother Mike says, I want you to wash my car, this is not what we're talking about. We obey the elders as they're teaching from God's word, as they're giving us instruction from God and warnings from God. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So it's good to have someone watching for your soul, isn't it? That's just a comfort to me to know that someone's watching for my soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, I'll close with this. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We esteem our brethren very highly. And thank you for praying with us for them. Does anyone have anything you'd like to add or anything, word of encouragement?
Jesus came, as you said, not to be served, but serve. Mm-hmm. You see, his whole life was dedicated to serving not only the apostles and those around him, but serving God.
Yeah.
He served God with his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And We see that he left us this example of washing another each other's feet, caring for each other. He wept over the church at one point, over the people.
Yeah.
He watched out for their souls. I mean, everything that you described here in the last part of your message, we see Jesus giving us the perfect example of this.
Amen.
And we see that no servitude is below, is too low for us.
Right.
Jesus washed his disciples' feet.
Yes.
With his own towel that was wrapped around him.
Yep.
So.
Amen. Okay, let's stand together. We're going to have a meal afterwards. Everyone's welcome to